You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
There's some breaking news right now in Texas. This is the scene above Timberview High School. This is Arlington, Texas. Timberview High School is currently on lockdown. We're told that the Mansfield Police Department, the Arlington Police Department, they're on the scene investigating what appears to be an active shooter situation. Students, staff locked in classrooms, offices as well. No visitors being permitted at this time, but right now you can see some fire trucks, some other emergency vehicles outside of this massive high school there in Arlington, Texas. We're working to gather more information. As information becomes available, we will, of course, pass it along to you.
And that is a situation in Arlington. Police are still looking for the individual. This is in Arlington, Texas. Evidently, four injured. Not sure how serious the injuries are. The suspect is still on the loose. We will let you know if anything breaks. But again, that happened about an hour ago, and they are still looking for the young man who is an 18-year-old. He is open fire inside of the high school, supposedly because of a fight. But that's all we know so far. So we'll let you know if anything does happen or anything does break. But again, this is Timberview High School in Arlington, Texas. So we just hope that everything is okay and hope those injured people will be okay. And again, we do not know how injured they are. There were students. One was older, possibly a teacher. But right now, the 18-year-old young man is still on the loose. His name is Timothy George Simpkins, and they are still looking for him. So a horrible situation in Texas for what's going on there. And again, we'll let you know if anything does break, but that's happened about an hour ago. It's still going on. So that's what's happening in Texas. So anyway, I am Kathleen England, filling in for Larry Connors. Larry will be back tomorrow. This is the Larry Connors USA show. And thank you for listening to me. I've been here since Monday and yesterday. And it's been quite an experience filling in for Larry. A lot of interesting situations that actually are happening with Biden and, you know, this bill and it's been crazy with, we had the Facebook issue happen the other day, and we're still, learning all about this whistleblower who, is an incredibly, brave young woman who has, quite a few documents. In fact, she's calling it the Facebook file, and, she's been on, Capitol Hill. She was, in front of the, senators on Capitol Hill yesterday, and she just laid it out for them. But she does have documents to back all of these claims that she's talking about and how Facebook is really doing a lot of damage to our teens, especially our young women, young girls, and of course, children in general, saying that there's a lot of influence because of Facebook and the ads they run and just the information that comes across there. Because, you know, when you were in quarantine for a year and a half, that's what you did. You know, you watched or you joined Facebook and you were a part of Facebook. And a lot of times that young women, teenagers or even younger, are influenced by what they see. Even it's just a flash of something, you know, that's kind of a message to kind of like get across to someone to buy something. And evidently they're doing this on Facebook. And Mark Zuckerberg has a lot of explaining to do because evidently that's what they were doing on Facebook until she said all of this, especially having to do with the 2020 election and all of the fake news and all of the, you know, the thoughts your thought process when you're looking at something and suddenly something flashes in front of you and you kind of puts a different type of opinion in your mind. It kind of makes you think. Image-wise for our young people, especially girls, I mean, especially weight. I mean, you've got eating disorders that stem from, you know, they begin with an image, and an image that is supposed to be the best image that they can have, and they see that on TV, now they see it on Facebook. So we'll have more about that and Biden and what's breaking in Texas. So stay tuned. This is Larry Connors, USA.
LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone. And Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issue solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
And we're down, we go.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I'm not going to speculate on what anyone's motivation is, but I do know that they were briefed. It was very clear. There are people involved in this process that have been involved before, and they're choosing not to take simple common sense steps to secure the border.
And this gentleman should know that was Rodney Scott, and he is an ex-Border Patrol chief, and he was part of the Biden administration. Actually, he was part of the Trump administration, but for 30 years, he had worked on the border. He has got a lot of he knows what the border is and how dangerous it can be, and he was forced out when the Biden administration took office, and he sat down with Brett Baer in a two-part interview that we'll finish today. And it's just amazing what is happening on the border, and you've seen the pictures of all of those people, and a lot of them are children. And it's just, you know, it's amazing how much chaos and how many crazy things are happening now with the border. Trump did have some control over that border. He did have the wall. Biden, I don't think, has a clue. But it's interesting because this gentleman, Rodney Scott, really knows his thing. I mean, you know, when you've been in a position for over 30 years and you're working the border and you know these people that are coming over, and some of them, yes, they want a better home. But then some of them, they are criminals. And it's just very interesting to see what's happening now. Brett Baer asked him to describe the difference between being, you know, in the part of the Trump administration and the Biden administration as far as what would happen on the border if you were crossing it.
They would be met at the border, immediately fingerprinted, photographed for records checks quickly, and then expelled back to the country they came through. So during that time, the vast majority of people were quickly expelled back to Mexico or back to Canada, or other countries even where we had flights taking place to quickly get them out of the country and then keep America safe. That was slowly chiseled away. So right after the administration changed, there was some messages that went out, if you will, that we were no longer going to expel anyone under 18, unaccompanied minors. So as soon as there's any vulnerability that we show, or any certain class of people that we carve out to be processed under different processes that are going to be allow them to come into the U.S.,
you know, while Trump was in office, one of the things that he did mention were these people that when they come over and they were then shipped back if need be. All of this was documented. So everybody that worked on Border Patrol or in that whole area knew what was going on, and they knew how many people were sent back because there were records of it and they kept records of it. But now it seems like the Secretary of Homeland Security he's acting like he doesn't know what's going on, but he does have a clue. He was briefed, and he's just not doing anything. As this Scott said before, they're not taking the appropriate steps, and they have been, you know, this is not their first day on the job. They do know what's going on. But the other thing that's really interesting and very scary is that a lot of these people that are coming over, they include rapists, murderers, potential terrorists. And it's very alarming as to how the Biden administration, this catch and release thing, where, you know, they're actually letting them come into the country and they're not doing any type of background or any sort of investigation in all of these people to find out exactly what kind of person they're letting into our country, rather. And the other thing, too, is that a lot of these are children. You know, along the Mexico border, along Arizona, there were 160 migrants crossing in one large group, and they were from Costa Rica, El Salvador, Guatemala, Nicaragua. 130 out of these 160 were unaccompanied children. And they were taken to the station and processed and then turned over to the Department of Health and Human Services. But, I mean, this is crazy that they're just dumping their children of any age. You know, you've seen, I don't know if you watch the news, but you've seen where these people are actually putting them over like somewhat of a fence and kind of like just dropping them across the border. Just and some of these children can't even walk. I mean, they're just toddlers. It seems like this is the way that it's going. It's, you know, you've got adults, but then you've got all of these children or these young adults. And evidently out of the 449 that were arrested in this latest group, 300 were unaccompanied children. And, you know, the Border Patrol isn't going to do anything with these children other than turn them over to the people who actually can help, you know, find a home for them or put them in, you know, an organization here in the States. Every state has an organization that helps people that cross the border and they don't have their green card or they don't have asylum. They don't, whatever it is they need, but it's kind of like a holding pattern so they can find out what they need health wise if they're sick. But if they're young, I mean, I don't know if we've ever seen this many young people anymore. These children that are just being dumped. And they go to emergency intake sites as well, just to make sure that they're okay. I think it's interesting that during the Trump administration, that was kind of highlighted that he was separating, you know, parents from children. And maybe in some cases he was. But I think if you look at these statistics, you will find that there's a lot of these children who are coming without any parents, any aunts and uncles, any family whatsoever. And so they've got to be dealt with in a very special way, not like the adults, because they have no idea, you know, where they are. They have no idea. They can't even talk yet. So they're trying to do as best they can to deal with all of this on the border. But as this gentleman, Rodney Scott, had said, 30 years in that type of business and watching all of this and seeing where the trends are, and the trend is getting smaller and younger and just being dumped. And then you've got, you know, President Biden, who is really not quite understanding what's going on. Yet the secretary, of Homeland Security should know this because he's been briefed. All of them have been briefed and all of them have been documented. So it's not like, you know, they don't know what's going on. And it's not like it's just, you know, the border from Mexico. It's Arizona. It's, you know, it's wherever there's a border, they're finding that all of these migrants are trying to get through and sneak in. And, you know, I don't know if that's more dangerous than actually, you know, getting caught. And at least they're going to some place where they can be fed good food and they can be given clothing and shoes. And then they can be, you know, given some sort of a medical. They can see a doctor to find out if they're sick or what they need. I think that the border is just one of Biden's problems. God knows there's been a lot of other things that have been going on. But I think this is something that we need to really, you know, as the American people, we need to look at this and we need to speak up. Something needs to be done about this. You need people like Rodney Scott back in his position because with 30 years of expertise, the guy knows what's going on. And he does say that the Homeland Security Secretary does know. He's very smart. He's got a lot of experience, so he knows what he's doing. Unfortunately, he's just not doing it for one reason or another. Why he wouldn't do anything to help the border is beyond me. But evidently, things have gotten a lot worse since Biden took office and his administration filled. You know, that's typical what happens. A new president comes along and those people are out and the new people are in. Unfortunately, 30 years. Okay. So you figure Trump was in office 4 years. This man was obviously before Trump and Trump saw that he knew his stuff and he knew what was best. So he kept him on. Unfortunately, that's not the case with Joe Biden. And, you know, everybody makes mistakes and everything, but this is just something that, it's horrible. And when the media shoots all of those films, all of those people, you know, under the overpass or all these people coming in and you seeing the guy on horseback and, you know, it looks and appears like he's using his horse whip to, you know, hit someone, but in fact, he's not. You know, I think it's just kind of, the whole point of the whole thing is glossed over. You have to realize the situation there and how chaotic it is. And when you have people that are in positions that really aren't familiar with what's going on, and then you've got a boss who's just not doing anything, I think you're in a real spot there. And it can be a very dangerous spot there. So that is, and this interview with Brett Barr is actually on, the rest of it is on today, so you might want to catch that. But again, it's very interesting, and I think that this guy would be very truthful and explain what is going on with the border and how horrible it is. So I think that's something that you might want to tune into and by chance, you know, just find out what exactly is going on. I'm Kathleen England, filling in for Larry Connors, and Larry will be back tomorrow. He's taken a few days off, and I've had fun here just finding out what's going on. It's been a very busy week. It's been a very busy month, and it's we're not even into October yet, just a few days into October. So it's just been kind of crazy, and doesn't look like it's going to calm down anytime soon. So, again, I'm Kathleen England, fill in for Larry. Larry will be back tomorrow. And that should be good. I'm looking forward to seeing Larry again. We're going to talk about what's going on with Mark Zuckerberg and the whistleblower and how the Senate are handling all of the claims that she has done and she has actually filed. She was at the Capitol and she was testifying. And it's amazing, this young woman who actually is quite smart, you know, she's just not out there just, you know, saying things. She's got documents to back it up. I think they call them the Facebook files. And she has been on an interview with, I think, 60 Minutes. Before that, yesterday, she was on with Capitol Hill with the senators. And she was just explaining her fears for Facebook and what they were doing and what they were not doing, and touched on the 2020 election, but also talked about other countries. And evidently, Instagram and this WhatApps is very, very popular in other countries. And it's almost caused them to come to a standstill because they are really involved in these other apps as not, I don't think that the U.S. would come to a halt. I mean, when Facebook did their meltdown and was off the air for what, a whole day, we still went on. You just didn't, do anything on Facebook. There's other things. And then, you could actually go read in the library or you could do whatever. You don't need Facebook to survive. But some of these other countries, I know in England, WhatsApps and Instagram are just like, what they live on. And when that came to a halt, especially WhatsApps, it was like everything stopped, which is kind of scary and kind of sad, if you will. So that was part of her fear, that it's just getting to the point where it's taking over life and they're just not, thinking above that or questioning it. They're almost taking everything that they read and they see as is kind of like the Bible. So with that being said, with Facebook here, I think the thought is harming the children and putting a lot of subliminal messages in the ads, or as you're reading Facebook and you're reading your page and something flashes in front of you, it kind of leaves that little idea in your head, whether you like it or you know about it or not. And that has become very dangerous, especially with our young kids and especially with our young women. Images are, when you're younger, it's all about how you look and, how you wear your hair and how much you weigh. We'll talk about that coming up. This is Larry Connors, USA Today.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Here's some good news. First Crypto World is now open in St. Charles, the first brick-and-mortar store where you can learn about cryptocurrencies and buy crypto merchandise. First Crypto World also has 3D printing services. In fact, I'm getting some promotional items printed. 3D. Get full details at firstcryptoworld.com. firstcryptoworld.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
He's advocating selective transparency. If you look at the thousands of pages of documents, they convincingly support the whistleblower, Frances Haugen, who was so compelling and credible yesterday. What she set forth essentially shows how Facebook is amplifying and weaponizing hate speech, disinformation, but also the anxieties and insecurities of teenagers, particularly girls, negative self-image, eating disorders, online bullying. It's all there. And he ought to spend more time looking at the platform, as many of his own staff well know. And I'm hoping there are other whistleblowers out there and more documents. We can't count on Mark Zuckerberg to tell us the truth. He has lost all trust, if he ever had any.
And that was Senator Richard Blumenthal, Democrat of Connecticut. And that's almost like what's happening with the Senate when this young lady was letting everyone know, or letting the senators know what she was, her fears, and backed it up by documents. She was a former civic project manager for Facebook's misinformation team. And so she has access to all of these documents, and she's already turned them over to the Wall Street Journal. So it's pretty much out there, and the fears are out there. And you would think that Mark Zuckerberg would then, instead of, I believe they showed a picture of him sailing yesterday when all of this was happening. You can apologize so much, but I think when it comes to image and when you're dealing with children who are, on Facebook, maybe without parental control, it gets very concerning. And this Frances Hogan has basically said that the Facebook platform causes harm to U.S. security interests and the well-being of minors, as Senator Blumenthal said. And it relies on negative interactions, which is just not good. It's not like they come out and say that. It's like they will flash something on Facebook, or maybe there's part of an ad, or there's a suggestion. And a lot of times you don't even know what you're reading. I mean, as an adult, I see these things that happen. You know, you get these ads, and I'm like, how did I get that ad? I have no idea, and I don't certainly like it. It may, you know, nothing that I would buy or nothing that I believe in. And it's like, well, how did that happen? So you have to go do your privacy thing and do whatever. But, you know, that's an adult. That's me. When it comes to a child, especially a young girl, and, you know, you may see, you know, an ad for whatever, or you may see a very skinny model, a very young skinny model. And, you know, that may kind of put that image in her head. And a lot of times young girls kind of think, well, that's what they need to look like, or that's what they need to be like. And before you know it, you have an eating disorder, or you have a self-esteem issue because you don't look like the person that's on Facebook, because everybody's on Facebook and all her friends are on Facebook. So, you know, she needs to be on Facebook too. And a lot of times people aren't truthful when they're on Facebook, so they don't quite look maybe the way that they should look. So, or they do look in reality. So I think that just needs to be, you know, things need to be just calmed down, and they need to be really looked at, because it's just not right. The misinformation and the image control, that's one thing. But then you get into the 2020 election, and, you know, we've had this big thing between Joe Biden and President Trump, and they tried to remove him from the internet, and he came back, and everybody thought, well, you know, bad President Trump. But the thing of it is that I don't think anybody really, really understood what was going on Facebook. And they should, because anybody and everybody can get it. And the other thing, too, is, you know, being a parent, you really, really, really have to put your full attention on your child when they're on the internet. You need to be a parent, not a friend. This is Larry Connors, USA.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
It's a fact that Ackerman Toyota is improving the local community. Jay Ackerman had a vision, and you can see the Ackerman Toyota dealership created a beautiful showplace at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota, sponsoring the next segment, new or pre-owned, Ackerman Toyota for life.
Short, my hair was long, caught somewhere between a boy and man. She was 17 and she was far from in between. It was summertime in northern Michigan.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I'm Kathleen England, filling in for Larry Connors, who's been taking a few days off. He will be back tomorrow. So it's been nice to be with you, and it's been fun. It's been interesting. It has been a very news-filled week, and we are only Wednesday. I have to check my calendar and look at my phone to figure out what day it is. It's scary. But a lot going on, especially with the president, and now we've got this interesting filibuster that he's trying to change. And evidently, on Tuesday, he said it was a real possibility that the Senate Democrats would look to change the filibuster rules in order to overcome Republican opposition and raise the debt ceiling. They're looking to do this ahead of the deadline, which is October 18th. They're trying to avoid, they're calling it a potentially catastrophic default less than 2 weeks away. And let's listen to what President Biden has to say about this.
You know, With regard to the filibuster, I believe we should go back to a position of the filibuster that existed just when I came to the United States Senate 120 years ago. And that is that it used to be required for the filibuster, and I had a card on this. I was going to give you the statistics, but you probably know them, that it used to be that from between 1917 and 1971, the filibuster existed. There were a total of 58 motions to break a filibuster that whole time. Last year alone, there were five times that many. So it's being abused in a gigantic way. And for example, it used to be you had to stand there and talk and talk and talk and talk until you collapsed. And guess what? People got tired of talking and tired of collapsing. Filibusters broke down and we were able to break the filibuster, get a quorum and vote. So I strongly support moving in that direction. In addition to having an open mind about dealing with certain things that are just elemental to the functioning of our democracy, like the right to vote, like the basic right to vote. We've amended the filibuster in the past. But here's the deal. As you observed, I'm a fairly practical guy. I want to get things done. I want to get them done consistent with what we promised the American people. And in order to do that, in a 50-50 Senate, we've got to get to the place where I get 50 votes so that the Vice President of the United States can break the tie, or I get 51 votes without her. And so I'm going to say something outrageous. I have never been particularly poor at calculating how to get things done in the United States Senate. So the best way to get something done, if it holds near and dear to you that you like to be able to, anyway.
Okay, I think I understand this, but what he's saying is that he basically wants to nullify the 60-vote requirement to break a filibuster. He needs 50 votes or 51 votes. If he got 50 votes, then Vice President Harris could then make the decision. And that's what he's trying to do. Democrats would like to see a simpler solution, ending the filibuster rules to pass in the Senate with a simple majority and without complications of the budget. But forgetting the 60-vote majority and to just go with the 50, or if you did 51, then no one would have to make that decision. I don't think that he's going to get that. That's kind of crazy. And there are a lot of senators out there who are completely against doing anything to the filibuster to change it. He's trying to change it. And honestly, from what he just said, from what I understand or from what anybody understands, because he comes across as being kind of weak and kind of unsure of exactly what he's saying, up until this issue, now he's all for changing the filibuster 60-vote majority rule. Before, he wasn't going to do it. He wasn't going to change the filibuster over any other issues. But this is now different because he wants this to pass. And it's a real possibility because, you know, that's what he's saying and that's what he wants. But it's making everything very chaotic. He's got – the deadline is October 18th. And then they will have to figure out what to do if this passes or if this doesn't pass. And they're calling it potentially catastrophic 2 weeks away to try to figure out to get 51 votes or actually just to change the filibuster. So I'm not really even sure how they go about doing that, if they have to all vote to change the filibuster and then go and vote. Or is it just something that's if the senators agree to it, then it is what it is. But it's interesting on how all of this is playing out. And Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell needs to cut a deal, from what they said. CNN reports that the day before he was opposed to changing the filibuster rules. They're discussing it. The Democrats are discussing it, whether it's possible to change the rules, according to multiple sources when they had their closed door session on Tuesday. Of course, Democrats rejected it. Republican demands to go through the budget. And then they don't want the help from Senator McConnell. It's so crazy, and it's very hard to understand all of this. But from what I did understand is that I don't think this is going to pass until the president does change the filibuster rule for this particular bill, and that he has somewhat control. 50-50 split, Vice President Harris can break the tie, and if it's 51, then he gets the vote. So this has been a huge topic for all of the senators because they are just not sure what to do. And everyone is refusing to go. I mean, it's just an issue on Capitol Hill as to what people are going to be doing, what senators are going to agree upon. The Republicans are putting up hurdles to the vote. Democratic senators have been discussing range of options, including carving out chamber filibuster rules. They're getting very specific there. But invoking a filibuster change seems very unlikely because all of the Democratic senators would need to be on board, every single one of them. So if he's sure he's going to get that, then they can actually change the rules to the filibuster and then see what happens then. Everything was divided from between the liberals, the Republicans, and the Democrats. And now, Senator Schumer is simply telling the Republicans they just need to get out of the way and allow Democrats to pass the measure. And that's it, because it's already approved, from the House. So that's not obviously not calming things down, and that's not a peaceful way of working this out. But certainly it's not building any bridges, and Senator McConnell is not budging on his opinion of all of this. And he's just – nobody's budging. Everybody is just pretty much standing their own ground. McConnell says they've had plenty of time to execute the debt and the debt ceiling increase. So Democrats are saying that they need to do this, and the sooner they get it done, the better. So right now, it's just going back and forth about the filibuster. So, you know, it's both parties that need to come together, and they need to contribute to the debt, and they need to contribute their opinions and work together to figure out what to do with this. I don't know if Biden is, you know, making up his mind, but he hasn't backed any calls to end the filibuster, as I said before, for any other topics. Suddenly, it's the only way that he can get this is to change the 60 to 50 and go from there. This debt standoff, this debt ceiling standoff happened weeks ago as some sort of political squirmish now happened within the Senate, and now it's become more serious. And the senators risk federal default if no agreement is reached. So they have to come up with some sort of default to figure out how to deal with this deficit. And it's just becoming crazy. I mean, they don't agree upon anything anyway. So they're trying to shorten the votes so it can go their way, which is not exactly fair. But, you know, they all need to figure out how to work together and figure all of this out, besides all of this going back and forth stuff. And then shortening the vote is kind of, you know, that's kind of ridiculous. But if that's what it takes to get it done, honestly, why wouldn't they do it? It's a cheap shot, I think. And it just allows the president and the Democrats to get what they want. So, again, what they're trying to do is shorten the vote from 60 to 50 votes. And again, if they got 51 votes, it would be fine. It would pass. If they get 50 votes, then Vice President Harris will have to break the tie. And of course, you know, she's going to pass it. She's the vice president. She's active in everything, isn't she? I don't know about that. Not sure about Vice President Harris, but we'll see how this whole thing plays out. I'm Kathleen England, filling in for Larry Connors. He'll be back tomorrow. This is Larry Connors, USA.
Yeah.
If you want great Italian food, there's only one choice. Well, wait a minute. There are really three choices, but all of them are Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Town and Country, and now the streets of St. Charles. Visit any of them. Visit all of them. Cafe Napoli, family owned since 1989. Cafe Napoli sponsors this next segment.
Not a yes, sir. Not a follower. Fit the box, fit the mold, have a seat in the foyer. Take a number. I was lightning before the thunder.
Thunder.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, welcome back. I just want to bring you up to date on this Texas high school shooting. Multiple injuries. The suspect is now in custody, which is good. A suspect who fled after opening fire inside a Dallas area high school about 3 hours ago sent students and staff running for their lives. He was just taken into custody. Authorities say he was 18 years old. Arlington police are reporting that a cell phone video obtained from a student shows that a fight broke out inside the classroom at Timberlake High School early today, and this 18-year-old Timothy George Simpkins just opened fire. They consider him to be armed and dangerous, and then he fled on foot. Law enforcement does have him in custody, so that is a good thing. People are still in surgery. A third one was treated and then left, so it wasn't life-threatening. That's good. It's interesting that under Texas law, it is illegal for the shooter to have or purchase a gun used in the shootings at Timberlake High School. Governor Abbott said in a press conference, he's the governor of Texas, that the suspect was illegally in possession of a firearm on school premise. The mayor said he was confident that law enforcement is doing the right thing. They have just apprehended him. That's good that they do have him. But what a scary thing. They said that actually that law just went into effect on September 1st, but it only applies to those 18 or actually 21 and older. And this young man is 18. So, prayers and thoughts for those family of those injured and all those kids that were, in that school, and now are pretty much traumatized by all of this. It's glad that law enforcement was there on the scene and could do what they do to get everything somewhat under control and then find this young man who obviously has got some major issues. But again, they said that it was due to a fight and the guy had a gun on him and he just pulled out and started shooting. So for the majority of the students and the teachers, the guardians, they all have been escorted and left the school. Parents are now picking up all of their kids. So, it ended up, it appears that these are not life-threatening injuries. However, there are a couple of these, people that were harmed. They are in surgery and a couple of them have been treated and left. So that is at least some good news out of it. And they do have the young man in custody, but, this whole thing with the guns and gun control and, however he got the gun, it doesn't really matter at this point because, if you really want a gun, you're going to get a gun, whether it's legal or illegal. It seems to be the thing. It seems to be an easy thing to get, especially, on the black market. You could just get anything. And 18 years old, I guess it's cool to have a gun. But with that being said, that's a whole nother issue. And then you're talking about Texas, where there's a lot of guns. So that's a whole different issue right there. But again, we can go back to, the people that were injured and that there were no deaths so far that we know, and that this young man is in custody, and it's just going to take a long time for people to heal. But it seemed to have ended on somewhat a good note, if you can even say that. But anyway, wow. That, like I said, it has been kind of a crazy, crazy news week, and it's just Wednesday, and it's been a pleasure being here filling in for Larry, who I've been here yesterday and the day before. And I've known Larry for quite some time. I used to be a reporter on Fox 2 and Channel 5, NBC. I used to do helicopter reporting and also did some radio news and traffic and, you know, kind of a sidekick type thing. So it was all light and all fun. Larry has been, I've known Larry for quite some time, and what a stand-up guy. He is certainly a very, very opinionated man, but he is, I have all the respect for Larry Connors. He has, actually, I actually ran into him at the Bikers for Babies, the ride out in St. Charles. And, you know, you see Larry in the suit and doing his anchor thing, and then you see Larry in his chaps with his do-rag on his head, and it's fun. It's a lot of fun. So, again, I am filling in for Larry, and we are going to make sure you stay tuned for Best of the Larry Connors USA Show. It should be coming up right after this. So, again, thank you, and hope you stay tuned for the Best of. We're going to do a Best of show for him. And take care. Have a great week.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.